Hi, I'm Carrie Penny. Welcome to Grace and Good Fortune. After several careers, including television, radio, and filmmaking, I began writing my way into the mystery of mothers and daughters, exploring small moments that spark my spirit. If you're interested in living and loving, kindness and light, grace and good fortune, these short essays might be for you. This is called War and Peace, and I wrote it in 2014 after having visited London on the centennial anniversary of the First World War. The Tower of London was awash in bright red ceramic poppies. 686,246 of them carpeted the lawns, one for each soldier killed in the First World War. It was somber and uplifting all at once. We were lucky enough to be there, accompanied by my British pen pal of over 30 years and his lovely wife, Catherine. Britons, along with most of the Commonwealth, wear poppies at this time of year, and Catherine had crocheted us some brilliant ones. In Canada, we wear plastic poppies, purchasing another to replace the other one that fell off the one before. While we may long for a better poppy pin, one that doesn't scratch your chin, as Lisa says, we wear them with pride. They mark us, in our warm winter coats, as Canadians. We're encouraged to remember. My dad was 16 when he enlisted in the Royal Canadian Navy, not even out of high school, and judging by the photo, barely even able to shave, a kid with a crooked grin in search of adventure. I imagine he, like most 16-year-olds, was hemmed in by his hometown and anxious to see the world. Back then, recruiters might not have asked for ID. You could show up, claim to be 18, and away you went for basic training, emerging with a handsome uniform for photos and the more practical day-to-day kit, all stuffed into a weighty duffel bag. Trading grade 10 for adventure on the high seas, my dad shipped out from Halifax. He never spoke about the war, even on Remembrance Day. We would return home from school assembly, curious and a little bit frightened, and asked him about what happened. We knew something had, it was obvious, but he had no desire to open that box, let in a little air, or perhaps a little light. Every family has something: divorce, drinking, mental illness. All families mess us up, somehow. It's how we learn early lessons of resilience, self-reliance, what we do and do not want to become. We were the children of a sensitive teenager with a thirst for adventure, though by the time we came along, he'd hardened into a man haunted by things best kept at bay, numbed by alcohol and painkillers. Like I said, we all have something. It wasn't until I was in my late 20s and living in Ottawa that I even wanted to know more about his life in wartime, and I was able to access his military record. My father was a stoker who spent the war in the belly of a corvette. These more agile warships would escort destroyers across the treacherous and heaving Atlantic for what would be the longest continuous battle of the Second World War. Living conditions were appalling. Men stacked like timber in canvas hammocks, living below deck for weeks at a time. You can tour one the next time you're near Halifax Harbor. It's no wonder he learned to drink in the Navy. There were ports of call, of course. Travels etched permanently in ink on each forearm. My siblings and I were fascinated by these skin paintings. A huge wooden ship sails aflutter on one arm and a heavy anchor on the other. We didn't know anyone else whose father had tattoos. It made him seem exotic, different. Papa Popeye. And he was a fighter. It showed up on his war record several times. He was also smart, devouring a stack of books a week and hammering us with new words and ideas. That he was intelligent, there was no doubt, but there was a chip on his shoulders, too. He was once famously described to me as the most instantly dislikable person I have ever met. He did not suffer fools and could be a nightmare at parent-teacher interviews if he showed up. He loved us fiercely, although we wouldn't be able to translate fierce to love for many years. I still have his original Royal Canadian Navy ID, typed incredibly on canvas, which was designed to survive a soaking at sea, lest they were sunk. There's also a photo where he stands shiny and heartbreakingly sweet in his dress uniform, smiling at the camera. It's the photo they sent home to worried mothers, achingly innocent, uncertain, and hopeful. I wonder sometimes what life would have been like if he had not enlisted, this small, sensitive man on the road not taken. War broke my father, cracked him open, and he never quite healed. I'll never know who started what fight or why, what it takes to live stacked into canvas envelopes on a gunmetal gray sea, days spent in the dark, rare ports of call where you drank hard and inked yourself, proof you could survive. There were moments, tender hugs or lively conversation about politics or points of grammar, surprising acts of kindness that would confuse me, a sort of emotional ceasefire where I could spend a minute, an hour, sometimes a day, glimpsing the soul of this broken-hearted, tender father. My brother and sisters and I were tempered by this maddening and mercurial man. Did we love him? Yeah, although we would never have said that then. He died when I was 18, his body finally giving out after a lifetime of trying to escape it. On Remembrance Day, I wonder how many other people bear the scars of war, and how many children will spend a lifetime trying to heal them.